Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Hope you've got some great holiday plans this weekend. Well, before we get my guest on, I want to just shout out, give a special thanks to each and every one of you who participated in this year's great giveaway. Just want to say thank you so much for caring about the needs of others, that you would step outside the hustle bustle of your day to help someone in need. It's one of the many things I love about you. Appreciate you so very much. If you missed the great giveaway show yesterday and you just want to be inspired by all of these random acts of kindness, you got to go back on our website, myfaithradio.com, and catch the podcast from yesterday's show. So here are a few questions for you to ponder as today's conversation unfolds. Are you ready? Do you tend to focus more on promotion or promotability? Do you tend to focus more on promotion or promotability? What would you say is the connection between our character and our success? And how do you suppose we can truly live God's best will for our lives and discern what He wants us to do as we sort through the desires of our heart, the impatience in our soul, the ambitions that drive us sometimes to get ahead of God? How do we discern it all so that we can take the best path that God has for us? And finally, do we really believe that God's will for us is our best case scenario? That one really, really matters. Well, we're going to unpack this conversation today with singer-songwriter, pastor, leader, Wintley Phipps. I used to listen to him on the radio. And wait till you hear his voice. It's going to knock you right over. And then second hour, you'll hear my conversation with my friend Ann Voskamp about living with expectancy in this Christmas season. That's a pre-recorded show, and she was fantastic. So you are in for a treat both hours today. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Wintley Phipps is a pastor, world-renowned vocal artist, motivational speaker, and education activist. He's the founder, president, and chief executive officer of U.S. Dream Academy, a national after-school program that aims to break the cycle of intergenerational incarceration by giving children the skills and vision necessary to lead productive and fulfilling lives. Isn't that amazing? He and his wife, Linda, have three sons. You can find his influencer page on the web at myfaithradio.com. Wintley, nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
I'm trying to focus on what you're saying, but I can't help but just notice how you say it. Your voice, like, rattles the airways. It's awesome. Very good. God gave you a good gift in that voice, Wintley.
Well, I'll tell you, at the age of about 14 and a half, 15 years old, I woke up one morning talking like this. it really, I tell people, it messed up my father, because if you can imagine your 14-year-old saying, "Hey, Dad, how you doing this morning?" And literally, I've been sounding like this since I was 15 years old. It's something that God saw fit to give me, this a very unusual instrument. And during that time, I was growing up in the 60s, so I wanted to be another Sly Stone. I know most of your listeners have no idea who that is, but when I met him, he was stoned, and I said, "No, I don't think that's what I want to do with my life." And at 16 years old, I dedicated my life to Jesus, and that's all I've done since that day, is to try my best to live for Him and use this gift He has given me for His glory and His glory alone.
Isn't it good of God to, you know, you had a dream in your heart that He showed you maybe the counterfeit to say, if you go this way, this is where this could lead. But I've got something so much better for you. What a blessing. Well, Wintley, we like to start out all of our conversations talking scripture, wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse you've been camping on these days, you've been thinking about that you can share with us.
Oh, yes. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a bright future. I hold that scripture very close to my heart.
Well, Winley, when you look back over the years, I mean, in fact, you shared a story of, if I remember right, you'd gotten a scholarship to college, but you were feeling hemmed in by the restrictions, and God used that time to kind of prepare you, to make you promotable. Why don't you tell us that story?
Sure. Actually, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was at a Christian school in Oshawa, Canada, and I actually, it was my first time in a religious school environment, and so I was having a little difficulty getting used to the rules and regulations, and they had lights out at 10 o'clock, and back then you couldn't hold hands with girls on campus and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I went to the dean of men, and I said, I'm so sorry, I can't take this, I'm leaving. And he said, is that really what you want to do? I said, yes. And then he said, why don't you do for once not what you want to do, but what God wants you to do? And those words struck me. I went up to my room in deep conviction, and that's when I prayed, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I said, God, if you want me to be a garbage man for you, I'm willing to be a garbage man. And then I said, God, you know, I'd like to travel and use my talents for you. And if that's your will for me, open the doors and let me see in some way. A day went by and two men came up to me and said, are you Winley Phipps? I said, yes. He said, oh, we've been hearing about you, and we want you to travel and do singing evangelism with us. And I was dumbfounded because I'd never prayed and then in 24 hours seen a prayer answered before. Mm. And so that will blow your mind when you pray and then all of a sudden a prayer is answered. And I remember walking the campus under deep, deep conviction, and God spoke to my heart and said, I've seen your dreams. Give me your dreams, and I will let you glimpse the dream I have been dreaming for you.
Hmm.
And that's when it began to dawn on me that God is the ultimate dreamer. When he dreams, however planets are born, when he dreams, stars twinkle in the sky, when he dreams, flowers come up out of the ground, and when they see his glory, I tell people they blush in technicolor.
Mm-hmm.
And when he dreams, he also dreams about us. And the most amazing thing that can happen in the life of a human being is to catch a glimpse of the dream God has been dreaming for you. Not just the dream of living here on earth and the accomplishments that you could achieve here on earth, but as I wrote in the book, catching a glimpse of the best dream or the best destiny God has for us, and that is for us to grow more every day to look like him in our character, to look like Jesus. The greatest dream God has for everyone is for us to resemble, reflect, and reveal his character and reveal the character of his son, Jesus.
Beautifully put, Winley. And I've been intrigued and studied the whole idea of our destiny and our purpose for years. It's just something that's on my heart as well. And would you say that to lay hold of the promised land that God has for us always requires for the Christ follower to go through that low door of humility? I feel like many Christians are going to live and die and realize God had so much more for me, but I refused to let my flesh die. I wanted to hang on to my will, my way. But those who are willing to do what you did, where you went back to your room and said, okay, in my flesh, I want to rise up and have it my way. But no, God, we're going to do it your way. Those are the ones who lay hold of something in God that others will not, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you that, yes, God has dreams for us as we live here on earth. And most people try to figure out what that is. And most people are trying to live that dream. And it is really living your earthly destiny. And when God said to me, give me your dreams, I'll let you see what I've been dreaming for you, I was excited because the Lord also began to say to me, if you can just be faithful, I will take your life down an unusual path, and you will be able to minister to the masses, but I want you to prepare to be able to articulate the issues of religious freedom, and I want you to prepare to speak truth to people of influence and power. And, of course, at 16, I'm hearing this in my heart and in my head, and I didn't know what it all meant. But I must tell you, everything that God spoke, that he was dreaming for my life, and as I've tried to be faithful, he has revealed it and he has allowed it to be. You know, I'm a bass baritone gospel soloist, and so I look back now and I recorded 25 albums. I've been blessed to have Grammy nominations. By God's grace, I've sung for the last 6 presidents of the United States of America. I was the last one to sing Amazing Grace for Mother Teresa before she died. I was on a plane years ago, and I saw this flight attendant who looked a little discouraged about 30 years ago. And so I went back to my seat and I got a cassette. You remember those things?
Mm-hmm.
And I handed it to her. I said, the Lord has impressed me to give this to you. She said, thank you so much. She said, I have been having a tough time and this will be such a blessing. 3 days later, she was working another flight and saw a man by the name of Cliff Barrows, who directed the choirs and the music for the Billy Graham Crusades for the last 50 years. And she said, Mr. Barrows, it's such an honor to have you on my flight. She said, but can I ask you something? Have you ever heard of a young man by the name of Wintley Phipps? He said, no, I've never heard of him. She said, hold on a minute. She went back to her purse and got that cassette and gave it to Mr. Barrows and said, this has been a blessing to me, but I want you to have it. Well, I want you to know, 3 weeks later, I got a call from Cliff Barrows saying, we want you to become one of the soloists with the Billy Graham Crusades. And so for 25 years, it was my honor and my blessing to travel with Mr. Graham and the Billy Graham Crusades to different parts of the country. And I was there when he did his first crusade in Moscow. And what an honor that was. But here's what God showed me, that I have lived all these what I call golden moments of destiny. And I can go through and share moments after. I mean, I'm on a plane once coming back from Los Angeles, Eastern Airlines. That's how long ago it was. And I saw this lady, and again, I went to my seat and gave her this cassette. I said, I feel impressed of God to give this to you. She said, thank you so much. She said, I travel with a cassette player. Some of us remember when the Walkman cassette was the big new technology. She said, I can play this tape you've given me as I travel. When the plane landed in Atlanta, she was standing in the jetway waiting for me. She took my hand. She squeezed it. Her eyes were misty. She said, thank you so much. She said, God bless you. It was Natalie Wood. A few days before she drowned.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've had in my life, I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how many of these moments. I mean, we could stay on the phone all day with those moments. But here's what God taught me recently, and that led to the book. Moments of destiny are moments for which you were created, but they're not the reason for which you were created.
Amen.
The reason for which you were created is to grow every day to more resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Talking to Wintley Phipps, and I just feel like some of the things you said have spoken directly to my heart about some things God promised me long ago that he's said time to take those off the back burner, Wintley. You've really encouraged my heart today. When we come back, Wintley, I'm going to have him tell the story of he actually wrote President Bill Clinton a letter, and you got to hear what happened after that. Talking to Wintley Phipps, author of the book Your Best Destiny, Becoming the Person You Were Created to Be. More with him when we return. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Wintley Phipps. Do you remember him? I listened to him on the radio years ago. Wait till you hear his voice. If you've not heard of him, it'll just rock you. He's written a book titled Your Best Destiny, Becoming the Person You Were Created to Be. He writes, some people dismiss childhood hopes and dreams as silly delusions, unrealistic whims that are best buried and forgotten. I would argue, however, that they are more than just animated flights of fancy. They signal our beginning awareness of an amazing potential future that stretches beyond what we can now see or hear. They are the first yearnings for our God-given destiny. Wintley, before we talk about this story around President Clinton, just to reset, when you were, I think, in high school, 15, 16, the Lord really spoke to you and said you would speak into the people's of influence's lives, and you would impact many people around the world. And you were telling stories before the break of how just by you responding to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, not even knowing who it is you're connecting with, but encouraging them, it connected you in ways where you traveled with Billy Graham for all these years. But I want to make sure you make this point again because it's so important. You said that we're going to have these golden moments, but they're part of our destiny, but they're not the end goal. I want you to say that again so we can remember it.
Oh, absolutely. God showed me that moments of destiny, and what I mean by, you know, those moments that blessings come to you and opportunities come to you just at the right moment, people who you meet that you could have never imagined that one day you would meet, and 5 minutes earlier you would have missed that blessing. Mm. 5 minutes later, that blessing would have missed you. You know, mm-hmm. your steps just came at the right moment to meet the right people at the right time, and I call those golden moments of destiny. And what God showed me is that moments of destiny are moments for which you were created, but they're not the reason for which you were created. The reason for which you were created is to grow more every day, to resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of God. That is your best destiny. That is your ultimate destiny. That is your supreme destiny. Because if you think about it for a moment, if you accomplish some of the greatest blessings, the greatest destiny moments that a human being could ever accomplish, if you found in the lab a cure for cancer, or if you found some great breakthrough that earned you the gratitude of a world or the gratitude of a nation. What God showed me is that for you, that means nothing if in your character you do not look like Jesus.
Indeed. Amen.
He is not impressed when he looks at us. He is not impressed with those golden moments of destiny, just simply because, you know, that's something, forgive me for saying it, that God doesn't sleep, but that's something he does without even thinking about it.
Indeed.
He creates those moments for us, and it's nothing for him. But when he looks at us, he's looking to see how much and how closely we resemble his son. And when God, the first part of what God began to teach me at 16 was, I'm going to take your life down an unusual path. You're going to speak to people of influence and power. And I'm 16. I'm like Joseph with the coat of many colors, with the dreams. Boy, I can't tell people this. They'll think I've got a messianic complex or something. How do you tell people God told me? I'm 16. How do you tell people God told me I'd be speaking to people of influence and power? But I felt it. I heard it. And many years later, I was in Birmingham, Alabama. It was 1990. I was singing at the convention center, and I got ready to go to the dais, and the security people started running back and forth. They said, the governor's coming. So I straightened up my tie and brushed down my suit, and they brought in Bill Clinton. Well, I didn't know who he was. Nobody knew who he was then. He hadn't even announced that he was running for president. So since I was in Birmingham and they said the governor's coming, I assumed he was the governor of Alabama. So when they put him beside me, I went into this long story with him of how much I love Alabama and what a great state Alabama is. And he was puzzled, why am I extolling the virtues of Alabama? And when they made the introductions, that's when it dawned on me, oh, no, this is the governor of Arkansas. And when he became president, I sang at his first prayer breakfast, and he sent me a note of how much he was blessed by the music, and he signed it, "With thanks, Bill Clinton, Governor of Alabama." So that again, you know, God said you'll be speaking to people of influence and power. Well, the last way that you would, you know, even dream that that would happen is by mistaking who the person was and telling them, you know, they're the governor of another state. Well, that mistake started a friendship, something that we could laugh about. So when we would see each other at the White House or different functions, we had a bond because of this faux pas, this mistake. Well, when the Monica Lewinsky story broke, I watched him literally aging, it seemed, in front of my very eyes.
You need to pause here, Willie. I don't want to miss a moment of this story. We have to take a break in about 30 seconds. Sure. So set it up for us, and then we're going to pick it up on the other side, because I just feel like God used you in his life. So go ahead and set that up if you would.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, I'll tell you what happened when God impressed me to send him a message, and I'll tell you what the message was all about.
Perfect. Talking to Wentley Phipps. Title of his book is Your Best Destiny, Becoming the Person You're Created to Be. We've got three copies to get out into your hands. Email me, write Best Destiny in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. I still get emails from you requesting books with no mailing address. And with all the emails I get, I can't chase you down. Bring me in those mailing addresses. We'll grab three of you and get a book into your hands. More with Wentley Phipps when we return. The email address is Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. That's true. You're a child of God. You don't have to be a slave to fear anymore. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, having a great conversation with Wentley Phipps. Maybe you heard his songs. He's got an amazing voice, but he's more than a singer-songwriter. He's a pastor and a leader. A man of God is mobilizing lots of people to walk in the fullness of what God has. And before the break, he was sharing about in his 15th, 16th year of life, the Lord really imparted to him that God would use him in big ways and use him in the lives of people of influence. One example was he felt burdened for a flight attendant. He gave her a cassette tape of his music. She was so ministered to by it, and the next flight she gave it to Cliff Barrows, who listened to it, called Wintley, and that really God connected them, and he sang with the Billy Graham Association for 20-something years. So before the break, another story set up. This is so funny, but here you're at this event, and you think Bill Clinton is the governor of Alabama. Honest, nobody knew who he was, but he came to Alabama, but he was governor of Arkansas. That little faux pas opened this friendship, a bantering friendship between you and Bill Clinton. And then came the time when he was president and the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke. And you said you watched him age before your very eyes. I think most of us would say that's true. You could see the wear and tear and what this thing was costing him. And so you felt prompted once again by the Lord to take a step. So what'd you do, Wintley?
Well, God impressed me to send him a message. I sent him a message. I said, Mr. President, the Lord has impressed me to ask you to please read Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, David says, save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I'm sinking in deep mire where there's no place to stand. The floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is parched. I knew he would identify what David said, those that hate me, because he knew the country hated them at that moment. Those that hate me, David said, without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. I knew he'd identify what David said, Lord, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hidden from thee. And then David said, Lord, let not those who seek after you be ashamed because of me. And so I'm at another function at the White House, and his labor secretary pulled me to the side and said, you don't know what happened? I said, no, what happened? She said, the president called a few of us together, his closest cabinet members, and we were so angry with him because of his awful conduct. We were going at him. And he began to read to us from Psalm 69. How it troubled him and moved him. And he went up to his room and he wrote out the first speech that he gave to the American people, where he finally came clean and said, there's no fancy way for me to tell you, but I did sin and I am a sinner. Mm. And I was asked, invited to be there, the East Room of the White House, to hear him give this speech. And so, Susie, you can imagine I'm sitting there in a daze because here I realized that God had used me, among many others, I'm sure, to help nudge the President of the United States to come before the country and the world to be truthful and share that he is a sinner and that he did sin. And he sent me a handwritten note after that my wife still keeps. And the note said, Dear Wintley, I received your message about Psalm 69. I read it with care and gratitude. I appreciate your counsel and your prayers. I need them all right now. And that was just one of those opportunities. You know, one day, and this you'll find this kind of funny, Susie. One day I had to sing at a big function in Washington where President Clinton spoke, and the same night I had to rush across town and sing at this big Republican function. And when I got there, I announced that I had just come from singing for the President of the United States. And there was this boo and rumbling that went through the audience. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I always go where people really need the Lord. And there was this polite applause. And then I said, and that's why I'm here.
Very good.
because I have found out we all need the Lord, no matter what party, no matter what stripe, we all need him. And you know, there was a very interesting experience, too, when I was getting ready to get on an elevator. Again, these moments of destiny, I can tell you, I've had so many. Getting ready to get on an elevator on Capitol Hill. It looked full. I said, no, go ahead. I'll catch the next one. They said, no, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the west steps of the Capitol. They said, oh, that's where we're going. I said, hurry on, squeeze on. I squeezed on the elevator. As it started to move, a voice from the back corner of the elevator said, Wintley Phipps, you don't realize how much your music has been a blessing to my life. He said, my name is Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas. And then as the elevator is moving, he said, "Hey, Wimpley, what are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "I can't think of anything specific." He said, "Tomorrow in the rotunda, we're giving Mother Teresa the Congressional Gold Medal. And I'd like for you to come and close the program with Amazing Grace." Hmm. And so here I am booked on this elevator. And the next morning, I sing Amazing Grace, and Mother Teresa gets out of her wheelchair and she holds me. And, that's a moment of destiny. And then there's something else God impressed me to tell you, Susie, you're talking about these moments of destiny. One day I was on an Amtrak train from Baltimore to Philadelphia. And on Amtrak, when you don't want somebody to sit next to you, you learn how to camp out, put your papers and your food all around you. You send a message, "Please find someplace else to sit." Well, this man had camped out, but when I looked at him, he looked really low and discouraged. And there were other seats available, but I walked up to him and I said, "Excuse me, is anybody sitting next to you?" And he smiled. He said, "No." And he pulled up his papers and his briefcase, and it was Chuck Colson.
My.
And we became dearest of friends. And he began to take me with him to travel. And we would go into the prisons of America, and he would speak, and I would sing. And he placed me on the board of directors of Prison Fellowship Ministries. And so I'm sitting with Mrs. Jack Kemp and Jack Eckert of Eckert Drugstores, and I'm learning how you build and run ministry with integrity. Well, while on the board, a very alarming statistic surfaced that about, in some communities, 70% of all the children who end up in prison come from the children of prisoners. It's the children of those who are in prison who are most likely to go to prison. So I began to say, let us build ministry to the children of prisoners to break that cycle of intergenerational incarceration. And Chuck Colson and the board said, "This is a calling for you, and we want to help you get started." And so almost 20 years ago, we started the first ministry of its kind called the U.S. Dream Academy. And we now tutor and mentor children of prisoners in the name of Christ. We do this in cities, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, Houston, Salt Lake City, Indianapolis, Orlando, and thousands of children come through. We focus on academic skill building, dream building, and character building. And this book that I've written, Your Best Destiny, uncovers the divine plan that I discovered in the Word of God for the development of Christian character. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It is God's plan for the development of Christian character. And God says, these are 8 dimensions of character I want you to have. Faith, virtue or moral goodness and integrity. I want you to have knowledge and wisdom. I want you to have patience. I want you to have temperance or self-control. I want you to have holiness or a respect for what is sacred. I want you to have kindness. And I want you to have love. And those are 8 dimensions of character that are critical. And as I'm talking to you, when you went off the break, Susie, God impressed me to just say that there's someone out there listening who God has blessed you with some unbelievable financial blessing. And if you want to sow into the hearts and lives of children whose parents are in prison, just go to our website. It's usdreamacademy.org. Or you can just call 1-800-US-DREAM, 1-800-US-DREAM. And you'll be able to see this work that we've been doing for almost 20 years, where thousands of children whose parents are in prison, we're able to give them the character, the academic skills, and the mentoring that they need. And I will tell you, one of the reasons that I do this is all of my wife's seven brothers and sisters have been in prison or incarcerated at some point in their lives. We live in some communities where you face a phenomenon, I call it the normalization of incarceration. It's not it's not foreign. It happens all the time. Mama, brother, cousin, everybody. Well, all of my wife's seven brothers and sisters have been in prison or incarcerated. Mm. But she lived next door to a Christian family. And when she was 3 and 4 and 5 years old, they would take her in to spend the weekends at their house. They bought her little church dresses. They kept them pressed and cleaned and hanging in the closet at their house. So if she wanted to wear those pretty dresses, she went to church. I call it Holy Ghost bribery, but it worked. Because when she was away from the cussing and the fussing and the shooting and the stabbing and the liquor and the gambling, she saw all that as a little girl. On weekends, she would see a family praying together, saying grace at a table, and a dream was born in a little girl's heart. Please, God, that's the kind of home I want when I grow up. And she is an amazing woman of character. All those eight dimensions, you know, faith, virtue, character, self-control, temperance, a respect, a tremendous respect for what is sacred. She is so kind, and she's a woman of love, and I'm so grateful God has blessed me. And so we're pouring back into the lives of thousands of children of prisoners, and if God has blessed you or someone out there, this is the time of year where we need the greatest help and support. But if God has blessed you and you wish to support and invest, not brick and mortar, but invest in flesh and blood, in the lives of young people who without intervention wouldn't stand a chance in this world, we'd love for you to come on board and come alongside of us. 1-800-US-DREAM will get you straight there.
Talking to Wintley Phipps today, also a reminder, we're also partnering with Angel Tree this year, caring so much about these children who have parents incarcerated. Lots of opportunities to minister. Remember, Jesus said, remember those in prison. Remember those families. Think of that. Wintley's wife's neighbor invested in her. And now she's this amazing wife to this amazing man. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do you walk so in step with the Lord that you're in the right place at the right time to see the kind of moments of destiny that God really wants for you. Having this great conversation, loving this, more with Wintley Phipps when we return. Song is like a healing balm for my soul. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with singer, songwriter, leader, pastor, father, husband, Wintley Phipps. He's got a book titled Your Best Destiny, Becoming the Person You Were Created to Be. Talks about these moments of destiny where God just orders your steps and connects you, and you know these are part of your story. But he said that's not even the ultimate destiny, even though it's so amazing to be part of those moments. The ultimate destiny that we have as Christ followers is to be made in his image, to become more and more like him every day. But he loves us so much, he writes a story with our lives. And he's talking about these eight pillars that really are so important to gird us up to carry the much that God wants to entrust to us. Faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance and patience, godliness, you know, considering things sacred, brotherly affection and kindness. And Wintley, I was thinking about when you wrote this letter to Bill Clinton, and then when you sang at the White House, then you went and sang at the Republican convention, and people booed until you said, you know, I just go where people need the Lord, and that's why I'm here. I think that was a brilliant thing to say, by the way. But you know, we are in such a polarized day, and I address this on the show often because it's such a burden in my heart that as Christians, so many of us are still seeing issues before we see people. And for us to be in those moments where God uses us, I mean, that God would use you across the aisle, back and forth and back again, is because you are willing to be someone used of God. Speak to that issue, because it's one of my primary prayer concerns. Not to say we don't hold to the truth of Scripture in a day of such departure, but love has to be the highest order of the day. And the pure in heart, we're the ones, when you're pure in heart, we're going to see God in that person and the need that they have. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, can you even imagine Jesus inquiring of party affiliation before he ministers to people?
Whoa.
Can you even imagine that God or Jesus standing before someone before he ministers, wanting to know what is your position on a particular topic before I extend ministry to you? I remember, and that's not something that I ever do, and so it places me in the most unusual places and meeting some of the most unusual people, because I am all about ministering to people. Susie, a man called me one day, said, I heard you sing this song about giving your life to God, and I want you to sing that song on Soul Train. And I said, how is this man going to get me on Soul Train? I've never had a manager. I've never had an agent. So he called up the host, Don Cornelius, said, I want you to put this young man on Soul Train. Don Cornelius said, I can't put anything religious on Soul Train. He said, but all you got is young people dressed funny and bumping into each other. And what this young man is saying in his music, those are the very young people who need to hear it. And Don Cornelius said, I'm sorry, I can't put anything religious on Soul Train. The man said, listen, Don, my name is George Johnson of Johnson Products Company, you know, Ultra Sheen, Afro Sheen, and my company's been backing your show for the last 8 years. So the next thing I knew, I was the first gospel artist on Soul Train in 1979. And so if you go to YouTube, you'll see me with a white suit and a big afro, you know. And yes, you asked a very important question before you went off to break. How do you live in such a way that God orders your steps so that you can arrive where he wants you to be and you can minister to who he wants you to minister to at the right moment? And there are many different things that come to my mind, Susie. The first thing is you've got to learn to recognize the voice of God in your spirit. And people say, well, how do I know it's God speaking to me? Well, you know that voice that tells you when you're about to do something wrong, don't do that. That's God's voice, because you would never tell yourself not to do what you want to do, you know? And so there, we all are blessed with that voice of God in our lives, but most of us don't cultivate the listening, so that we hear it in the most mundane of moments. And the other principle that comes to my mind that you mentioned that helps when you are trying to let God order your steps is really be a person of character. Be a person of those eight dimensions of character, and God will order your steps in a marvelous way. One of the dimensions is, for example, kindness. Kindness. If you follow kindness, it will take you to incredible moments of destiny. I'll give you an example. 35 years ago, I was singing in Baltimore, Maryland. I came down off the platform, and there was a tap on my shoulder. I turned around, and this young lady was standing there. She said, excuse me, sir, I just heard you sing, and I'm really discouraged. She was about to be fired from her job. She said, I feel like I can talk to you. Do you have time to talk to me? I said, sure. And so we made arrangements, and she came by our home. We lived in Columbia, Maryland. And she came by our home. We talked with her, encouraged her, and prayed with her. And before she left, I said, before you go, I don't know why, but God has impressed me to tell you that he's going to bless you and give you an opportunity to speak to millions of people. She said, no, do you think God would do that for me? And it was Oprah Winfrey. And that's how we met 35 years ago. And so even now, just a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be on her show talking about the character of God and living your life in a way that you resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of God. And to be in a teaching moment, sharing these things with such an influential person, and having and hearing her later on repeating to people, you know, I learned something, that it's so important to live, to resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of God. It's just been a marvelous thing watching God orchestrate those moments of destiny.
It seems, too, how important it is to leave outcomes up to God, because we want to get the whole deal done. If we see someone who maybe is off track, we want to fix it. Mm-hmm. Where maybe you're a seed sower in that moment, where you say what you need to say and you leave the outcome. We just have a moment left. But maybe speak to that piece, too, because I think if we feel like, well, this feels like a departure to me, so I got to get you from A to Z in this encounter, we're kind of taking something on ourselves that really belongs to God. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the great things that resembles, reflects, and reveals the character of God, one of the great dimensions of character God wants us to develop, Susie, is patience. Patience. He has patience with us, and praise God. You know, he's had some of us, he's had to wait on for many, many years. And sometimes we are not as kind and as patient with other people that he is working on too. And it may take just as many years, and we just have to learn to resemble his character and be patient. You know, Isn't it interesting, Susie, how you bake a cake, but you know that just turning up the temperature and making the oven hotter won't make the cake bake any faster. You know, and sometimes that is the process for our own salvation. We would love. The thing we need to stay focused on is help people to understand that their best destiny is growing more every day to resemble, reflect, and reveal the character of God, and their best destiny is becoming that person that God created them to be, which is the moral image of his character.
Wentley, this has been such a treasured conversation. We have just a minute left, but I'm thinking there's somebody that stumbled on the dial today who this is news for them. And I wonder if you'd pray for that person, that they would know the intimate love and saving work of Christ this season.
Yes. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for that person that tuned in, that person that you blessed, that has been looking for a way to be a blessing to others. I ask, oh God, that person listening right now, you'd bless them with your protection, with your provision, with your presence, with your power, and with your peace. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Wentley, what a dear brother you are. I've so enjoyed this time. God's really used you to speak to me today. Thank you for this time.
Oh, you're very welcome, and God bless you and all your ministry. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, sir. God blessings on your holidays. Talking to Wentley Phipps today, title of his book is Your Best Destiny, Becoming the Person You Were Created to Be. Email me to get a potential copy. You've got three to get into your hands, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Best Destiny in the subject line. Make sure you include your mailing address. Coming up for Hour 2, you'll get to hear my conversation with my friend Ann Voskamp. Another great hour ahead. So don't go away. Hour 2 of Live the Promise is up next.